Welcome to the Swing Set. Climb on up. There's always a swing available. On Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, we explore open relationships and swinging, the pleasures and passions, the promise and pitfalls. We discuss all aspects of swinging in a fun, open, and welcoming fashion with a gleam in our eye, a bounce in our step, our hand down your pants. Ooh, sorry, got ahead of myself. We may be biased. In fact, we most certainly are. But we don't sugarcoat, and each of us speaks honestly and earnestly about our thoughts, ideas, and experiences throughout our very own lives on the swing set. Thanks for swinging by.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh no, when you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus a free extra gift so essential we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So go to adamandeve.com today for the special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type swing set for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use the offer code SWINGSET at adamandeve.com.
When you first begin your life on the swing set, you see the expanse of potential lovers and playmates and friends spread out before you, an endless bounty of hedonistic experience, the likes of which you've never known. What you don't often think about, however, is what happens when you or your playmates want to sever ties, to end the relationships they've established with you. Because no matter how you cut it or what level it entails, you're developing relationships with everybody you meet in your non-monogamous as well as monogamous lifestyles. And not all of them will last until you're in a very sexy nursing home together. Sometimes they end, and you have to break up, which is what we're discussing tonight. I'm Cooper Beckett, and with me tonight...
Hey everybody, it's Ginger.
Any smooth and sultry Dylan here?
Sultry.
And a topless Cherubi Katz.
Yes, Cherubi Katz is topless for us tonight to lighten the mood.
Because it's hot as hell.
That is hot as hell.
Yeah.
Just thinking about the sweat dribbling down.
Anyways, let's talk about sad things with our boobs out.
You need.
I was thinking about ice melting.
You need an ice cold, an ice cold Pepsi. I think you know that you can just press against your chest and cool off. I for some reason see you in Alabama, maybe. At sunset in Alabama.
With Daisy Dukes, is that where we're going with this now?
Yeah. Okay. Was this a commercial? Because I see this very vividly.
You know, I like the way that I sound in your guys' imagination much more than I do in my imagination, so thank you.
Well, this is the theater of the mind. So all our listeners are getting a very distinct impression of what Cherubi Katz looks like right now. And while it may bear no resemblance to what she actually looks like right now, it is nevertheless a lovely image. So I have business, and it's not great business. You know, I've talked off and on, I think, and I know I've blogged about, we had, with our first couple, we had a strange relationship with the male half, who then left the picture, and we'd been pursuing a more romantic relationship with the female half. And this has been over the past 2-ish years. So it's not a new thing. And we just started getting to a point where, you know, she had broken it off with her ridiculously emotionally abusive, ex who we wanted out of the picture. And we had all talked about her being in a kind of sort of relationship with us for a while. And we knew that, you know, this kind of relationship probably has a shelf life. So we didn't anticipate that it would last forever. We didn't anticipate even that it would probably last beyond the year. And we wanted to be there as she pursued other relationships and help her get into another stable relationship, hopefully keeping her out of her feedback loop cycle of finding ridiculous asshole abusive boyfriends. And well, it we kind of got there, but then she kind of found a boyfriend and decided she wanted to go back to monogamy without really even talking to us about it. And after trying to be supportive and really, really trying, we decided we just can't right now. And we're not comfortable supporting a relationship that we believe is changing her. Because when we were talking about it initially, she said that she wanted to let anybody, any possible relationship, know that she was in a relationship with the two of us, that non-monogamy was important to her, that she feels strongly about the swinging lifestyle, and all that sort of went out the window with this relationship. So we broke up, and we actually have cut off communication as of this past week.
You saying all that brought up like four different emotions in me. You mentioned that she didn't talk to you guys first about it.
No.
And on one level, I felt like, well, it's her decision and she needs to make that decision. But on the other level, she was supposed to be, she wanted to be with you guys. She was getting support from you like she was wanting to be with you in a long-term relationship. And it feels to me, at least hearing you talk, that you might have been friends, but you were giving her support based on her being someone that was special to you guys and intimate with you guys, and you gave her your love and support, and then all of a sudden she's not doing what you guys, you know, she's not going to be there as somebody supportive and intimate to you guys. You know, she's just going back to be a regular friend, and that's tough. I mean, it's like a lot of guys' problems when they're friends with a lot of girls and they end up being friend-zoned. That's what it sounds like to me. You guys were potentially intimate and you were supporting her based on that and giving her your love and support, and then all of a sudden you get friend-zoned. And
right.
I think that's a nicer word than what I use for that sort of stuff. I call that being used as an emotional tampon. You basically are there for someone during their hard times, and then, you know, things are better and they don't need you anymore. I mean, I might be looking at it cynically, but
and I'm sure it's no secret from her tone that Shira is not a big fan of this girl having you.
I
get it. I understand it. It sucks. It's like on one hand you want to be, you want to help somebody, you want to help a friend break free of the cycle that she's put her through of abuse, and that's obviously happened.
No, I mean even on its basis level. What happened is she was now in a relationship, and I found out about it from a Facebook new relationship announcement. Rather than her saying, you know, this guy that I've been hanging out with, that I've been talking to about all these things, we're in a relationship now. We saw it on Facebook.
I think we can bottom line this by saying you three were in a relationship. And she didn't level with you emotionally, because if she had, this wouldn't have been a surprise. You guys were obviously emotionally generous to her, with the expectation that she would do the same, and she wasn't. And as your friend Cooper, that hurts, because it does sound like you were used. I was trying to avoid saying that you were used, because at the same time, it's nice that you were able to help a friend out, but it really does just feel like you guys were used, so I'll defer to Shira on this one.
Yeah. I mean, okay, coming from this, having heard about her for a year now, I think that I might have a different perspective than if it was a, you know, listener calling in and telling us about this situation. I might go at it from a different point of view, but knowing all the details, Coop, I think that you went above and beyond, and you shouldn't feel too bad about this one. You tried really hard and you were there for her for a good long time. And I think that your attentions will be better rewarded elsewhere.
Well, what's hard about this and what's interesting about this, I find, you know, if I look at it from the very objective point of view, is this was our first poly driftings. You know, this was the first time we actually had the discussion of this could be a relationship. And how do we feel about that? And what would that mean? And so it was to have it blow up the way it did. It reminds me of what we talked about, of how bad it could have been if our first couple, which is ironic, if our first couple had been a bad experience, and how far set back we would have been with the lifestyle. In fact, a lot of couples that I hear about who have a bad experience never make it past that bad experience. They wind up just, it's like, okay, well, we tried.
I want to bring back the metaphor that I've used a couple times when talking about ways to make parts of the swinger experience more accessible to people that haven't been in it. I've brought up it being comparable to just dating between regular two people. And just regular dating between two people is really hit or miss anyway. You know, you end up getting emotionally used, whether you get friend-zoned or whatever, and friend-zoned. And
I got totally friend-zoned.
there's a high signal-to-noise ratio when it comes to general relationships. And, you know, I don't want you to be turned off to this possibility in the future just because this person didn't work out or outright used you guys for emotional support.
When we're not shutting down the possibility. I'm just saying it was a hard first attempt at this. I still firmly believe that the two of us can have a relationship with another person or two other people, a strong, loving relationship with other, and I get that because I feel little bits of that in different relationships we have with other people. And it just, and for a while with this one is we did feel a very strong three-way relationship. So I'm not saying that this is the end for our poly experiment, as I've called it a few times. But it's a wake up that just because we badly want something to happen doesn't mean it's going to happen.
It is admirable, Cooper, that you can separate the difference between a failed relationship and a failed experiment. I think that even myself, I fall victim to the fallacy that if it won't work, if a certain situation won't work with one person, it might not work with everyone.
Right.
And, you know, I whined a lot earlier this year about the breakup that I experienced in late 2010 with a boy who, you know, was very close to being like a third, where there was talking, you know, a lot of talk about maybe living together at some point in the future. And like, even still today, I feel like I'm in this situation where it's like, man, if that didn't work out, he was really ideal for that situation. If that didn't work, I don't know.
Like, what are the chances?
Yeah. Like, how, if this very, very ideal situation wouldn't work out, imagine, like, someone with way more complications or, you know, I don't know. So it's admirable that you're already like, okay, well, I'm going to keep trying and I'm not going to let this bring me down.
I think one thing that's such a challenge about breaking up when it's not the traditional mainstream paradigm is it seems like there are so many other variables that can factor into the breakup. You know, I mean, I think of like the mainstream view of, you know, two people getting together, and it's the whole, like, it's not you, it's me. And it's, you know, you run through these different breakup scenarios and they kind of fit into different kind of boxes, like check this box, check that box, like whatever. We're not compatible, or we're not this, or we're not that. And when it comes to alternative partnerships, I think one thing that has made itself kind of, I don't, it has become apparent to me, and it was came through the experience of when Prof and I had a breakup with a woman that I've, you know, invoked a number of times on the podcast and in writing, that when people can't really wrap their mind around the model of an alternative partnership, that's a hard breakup to have. So I'm just thinking, Coop, about her, your girlfriend, and thinking about one of the elements of considering that type of relationship. And I think about the relationship that Prof and I had with the woman that we were with. One of the reasons that we broke up twice. The first time was because she could not wrap her mind around dating a couple. She just didn't get it. Like, she just, it wasn't part of a paradigm that she could figure out how to make that, like, how does that work? Like, she understood how to date me. She understood how to ask me out and how to take me out, but she just couldn't figure out what she wanted out of dating a couple and if that worked for her, even in the short amount of time that she could decide she wanted to do it for, you know, however long. And the second breakup then came when another partner came into the mix and they chose to be monogamous, which that was the one we were prepared for. But the initial one that then led to us having a conversation further down the line and becoming a triad again was that, you know, she didn't get it at first. And then when she came back around, you know, after we broke up, and then she came back around and said, I think I kind of get this now, so let's give it a try. And it was like, sure. And I feel like we were always prepared for the, I met someone and I want to be monogamous with them, because that was something that was always on her radar screen. But I wasn't as prepared for the, I don't get how to date you guys, this is kind of bizarre for me breakup. That one was hard.
And I think, you know, in retrospect, looking back on it, I do think we were pushing for something that she didn't understand.
And yeah. Oh, definitely.
There were many instances where she talked about how Marilyn and I have each other and she doesn't have anyone to, you know, go to for help. And every time I tried to point out, no, you have both of us. That's sort of the point. It's not that you are alone in this coming into, you know, our relationship. The whole idea is it's the three of us and we have each other. That was the idea. And I completely understand not being able to wrap your mind around it. I mean, we can just barely wrap our minds around how that would work. We were just stumbling across it. And I think, you know, a lot of the blame can be placed on us, because I don't think, you know, I think we pushed really hard with this idea and she really liked us. So she went along with this idea. And
then she wasn't being honest with herself. I mean, if she's saying stuff like that, then she really never really considered. She never took the word of being your girlfriend or in a relationship with you guys seriously, because if she had, she would have treated it like any other relationship. And she would have, I'm not saying it would have been easy, but at least she would have tried to communicate with you that she wasn't quite getting it, instead of constantly pushing the point that she didn't have anyone.
Right.
I think that's pretty telling right there.
I think, though, Dylan, I feel like if you don't get it, you kind of don't get it. Like, if you can't, if you aren't kind of moving in the circles, and I'm just thinking about, I mean, maybe Shira can speak to this or not, I don't know. But, you know, when you're moving in circles where people see triads and quads and see how it works when it comes to, you know, a poly or poly leaning type of relationship, then people see it and they kind of get it. they're like, oh yeah, those people across the street or the people that we see at the grocery store or those children's parents that we see at school, whatever it is, like people can wrap their mind around it. But if it's something that's not even on your radar screen and you're only familiar with it through the swinging world, because again, people swing in so many different ways and there aren't a ton of swingers that really can put their finger on poly leanings, or they might get there eventually, or but you know, you, if you're in the swinger community a certain way, then you just see swing parties or you just see online dating. You don't see that holding up of an alternative partnership that's kind of a longer term, more emotionally invested partnership, I guess.
But you're talking about function versus feeling, though. If I'm a swinger that came into this just to go to the swinger clubs and just to be with another couple but not get any feelings with them, that doesn't have anything to do with me actually getting feelings for them. If I came into something intending to do that and all of a sudden I start developing, you know, a real intimate like or love for someone, I may deny that, I may back out of that, I may make a conscious choice to, but at least that's something that's actually happening. And I think the same goes with anybody who might or might not be poly-leaning. I don't think everybody is going to be poly-leaning, and I'm a little more leaning that way than not, but I may not never get there. That's just me, though. But coming into this from not being a poly person, it doesn't matter to me how the relationship would end up functioning in the real world. What matters to me is how it feels. And I've always liked multiple people. And so if I'm going to be honest with myself and honest with other people, if I say, wow, I couldn't even wrap myself around being in a relationship with another 2, 3, 4 people, that's okay, because then it's a process of discovery, seeing if it can work, seeing if it can't work. And if it doesn't work, no big deal. But the feelings are still there.
Right. I see your point.
So the way I'm saying this is that what we're talking about is we're talking about relationships with the converted, someone that we've kind of introduced to this lifestyle, or at least in this situation with Cooper, and for me in the situation with my last serious secondary, which I don't like calling him that because that's part of the problem, but my last serious polyamorous partner, who is no longer my polyamorous partner. The situation that I see is that when you're converting someone, it's, you know, no matter how normal it is in your community, no matter how familiar they are with the situation, it feels different for the secondary partner. And I think it just feels different for the new partner. It can't be any other way. Like, whether or not you're familiar with poly, I think that there's just a little bit of a rift. Mm-hmm. In particular, for my partner, we talked about it all the time. He said, you know, I would never want to get in between what you and your primary have, but I also feel like, you know, I want that. I want what you and your primary have, and I'm not going to have it with you. And that led to him, you know, kind of wanting that with someone else, which I was totally okay with. But there's the other thing that you have to realize is that it's not easy to be in an alternative lifestyle. To get out there and date, it's going to be a lot easier for these people to go and find monogamous people and kind of stick with the status quo. Mm-hmm. That's the experience that I had with my partner, and I think that's the experience that you had with your partner, Cooper. She found a monogamous person. Mm-hmm. Because it's so much easier to find a monogamous person, and, you know, and it's easier to connect on that level. To ask a secondary partner to be like, well, I'd really appreciate it if you got into a polyamorous relationship only so that I can still see you is a little bit tough, because you don't want to limit... You don't want to, you know, leash people that way. And as much as you'd love to feel so special as that they'd only do that, it's asking way more than it doesn't mean you're not special. It just means that you can't limit someone that way.
You have a good point. I'm thinking about this in. You know, I don't even know if I was fair in my comment, because now what I'm thinking of is as a poly relationship that I understand and that I get and that I think I could function in, if everybody in that relationship was equal. For example, you know, a square-shaped looking couple, so four people. Mm-hmm. But having two people with, you know, spokes coming off of the woman and spokes coming off the man, and they have their secondaries and then possible spokes coming off of them, and it not being, you know, one unit does kind of throw me for a loop. I can't... I totally invalidated all my comments earlier because I don't know if I could deal with being someone secondary with the way I am right now. I would have to spend a long time working that out in my head.
As Dylan fulfills his role on this show as the guy who learns something every time, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors, and then we will be right back.
Okay.
Bye, sponsors.
Hello, listeners. You know, a lot of sex toys come across our desks here at Life on the Swing Set. Some of them are good, but many are forgettable. Then there are the products from close to you. These toys are musically named because music is the language of passion. They rise to the top, superior instruments of pleasure that you can't wait to play with again and again. Close to You's entire line of toys are the cream of the crop. Their vibrators and anal beads are elegant, soft, and most wonderfully waterproof. Pick up Close to You's Symphonia Vibrator today at EdenFantasies.com. Hey, Cooper, guess what?
What's that, Shira?
I just found the most amazingly sex-positive, eco-friendly, progressive, female-run sex shop.
Oh, really? This place sounds great. Who are these people, and how did they get the elusive Shira B. Cat stamp of approval?
They have the cutest name. They're called Smitten Kitten. Their brick-and-mortar store is located in Minneapolis, and their online shop is located at www.smittenkittenonline.com. They specialize in high-quality sex toys and equipment for people of all genders and sexual orientations. Handmade, one-of-a-kind items, non-toxic, medical-grade toys, educational books and DVDs, and even ethically produced porn on demand.
Oh, Shira.
What?
Get with the times! Everybody knows about SmittenKittenOnline.com. In fact, Life on the Swing Set has partnered with Smitten Kitten to give all of our listeners a 10% discount when they buy items from their online store. All our listeners have to do is enter the code SWINGSET at checkout, and boom! Discount.
No way. I can use it too? They have the super hot harness I got my eye on.
Absolutely. In fact, I invite you and all of our listeners to go to smittenkittenonline.com and use the product code SWINGSET. Not only will you get 10% off your purchase, but you'll also be supporting one of the most progressive and sex-positive businesses in the industry.
All right, Cooper, I'm on it. www.smittenkittenonline.com. Discount code SWINGSET.
You'll be glad you came.
Okay, welcome back to Life on the Swing Set. We're talking about the wonderfully uplifting topic of breaking up tonight.
Although we seem to be having a very involved discussion on polyamory.
Well, because polyamory is what most people think of when they think of the lifestyle and relationships.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because the word relationship implies... It's like when, you know, you're on sitcoms, because right. That's where information comes from. When the boy and girl are dating and the girl says, we're in a relationship, and the boy's like, whoa, a relationship? Oh, I never agreed to that. It's cute and stupid.
Well, and if we're on a just a little tiny sidebar, one thing that kind of gets under my skin, but I get why people say it, and I've been guilty of doing it myself as well, is when we are talking about relationships in the swing world or in the poly world, the idea of, like, quote-unquote real relationships. Like, you know, there are real relationships, and then there are something else. I don't know what, not real relationships, like fake ones or loser ones. I don't know. But it gets under my skin, because that is one thing that when you are in this, like, foggy gray world of swing, open, poly, not really sure where we land. It's like, they're all real to us. I mean, they're all real. Of course they are. And just because they have less of an emotional investment at certain times doesn't mean they're less real. And so, I don't know, just throwing that out there.
I see that. And you know, kind of getting back to the point where Dylan was saying how he couldn't deal with the inequities, I think that even if you... It's not about it being real. And I think that a lot of kind of the new converts, when they kind of break in, they kind of feel like, well, maybe because I'm a secondary or there's some odd hierarchy, like I'm not as real. But even when you're bringing in someone as equals, Dylan, there's still like a seniority. And there's still like, it's not even about it being like, this is more important. It's just, this is really different. And this has been here longer. So there, it's, you know, stronger in a lot of ways.
So it'd be like having a senior poly correspondent and a regular poly correspondent.
Something like that. It's just, there's nothing that you can do in a new relationship with someone that will bring you this sort of closeness that a long-term existing relationship will have. And so there's always going to be, like, no matter how equal and how many, like, how much political right a person has in a certain polycoupling, there's always going to be a deeper understanding that comes along with being with someone longer. So there's an inherent, like, less real, less serious feeling, I think, which sucks. And we gotta figure out a way to get around that. It's just communication, right?
Yeah. That's all it always is. Yeah. You know, and isn't that easy?
Oh, so easy.
One of the things that really I couldn't wrap my mind around was the I want to be non-monogamous, but I'm going to go with a monogamous person.
I did that. Have you guys never done that?
Well, my only experience was being in a monogamous relationship, feeling like I can't breathe. Yeah. My wife being in that monogamous relationship, feeling like she can't breathe. Us being in it together, like society tells us we should be, until we almost broke up. And then realizing, oh, wait, there's this other thing we can do. And I can't imagine. It would take really special circumstances for me to decide, you know what? That monogamy thing sounds good to me. I should try that again. I can't imagine that.
When I went there, I was polyamorous since I was a teenager, and then in my early 20s, I decided to date a monogamous man for a while, thinking that, you know, I should be able to do this. Like, I had a lot of shame early on around polyamory and feeling like, you know, if it was the right person, maybe I could do it for them because I love them.
Right.
But what you're saying
is it didn't work.
Oh, no, God, no, it didn't work at all. I mean, it was.
That's kind of what I'm saying is I really do believe there are monogamous people.
Yes.
And monogamy is fine for them and they are happy and good for them, honestly. But there are also non-monogamous people, and I believe you are one or the other. I don't believe you can force yourself in either direction.
Sure, but so often that's a mistake that you have to learn for yourself. And, like, no matter how much you swear up and down to someone, like, hey, dummy, you're making a mistake, until they do it themselves. You know, that's how it was for me. I made a big, fat, stupid move across California mistake, and then I ended up right back over here where I started off. And maybe that'll be the case with your girl, Coop.
One thing I do want to address, and one thing that is a very different dynamic in breakups in non-monogamy, is the fact that you've broken up with this other person, but you are not alone. This is the big difference between breaking up as a one-on-one couple and breaking up with someone else is, you know, I had Marilyn and we both were constantly reinforcing each other that we're okay, right? This is just this other situation that's not okay. We are okay. And so we always had that to fall back on, that we are strong. We are okay. We will get through this. So it's a very different, but at the same time, then there were moments where, you know, I was feeling really bad about it. She was feeling really bad about it. So we were even kind of feeding each other feeling bad about the situation.
That's what we were talking about before about, you and I were talking about it, Coop, about that sharing that sadness and what that's like. I mean, it's like, you know, it's, I don't know what to call it, but it's, you know, it's a part of compersion somehow, some way. I don't know what kind of offshoot it is, but it's like when you are both missing that person or you're both disappointed about the breakup, there's something to that.
There is. And then, I mean, I'm happy that you and Marilyn had each other, definitely, because the other option is when one of you is heartbroken and moping around the house. And
the other one is saying, we got to end this thing.
And, well, no, and the other one isn't saying we got to end this thing, but just saying, you know, I'm sorry, baby, there's nothing I can do. How can I support you? For maybe a week or two. And then after that, they're just like, I don't want to fucking hear it anymore. You broke up with this person. I am tired of carrying around your sorry ass.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
I mean, I do.
I was going to say, my partner is never like that, but I, you know, you get a sense. It's like, okay, I have to stop being this emotional burden on my partner because it's not cool, you know?
In summary, breaking up sucks.
Well, yes. So now there's another side of breaking up that's a little bit less extreme and emotionally charged, but it's...
It doesn't have the X in it.
It still feels just as rough, though, sometimes, especially, I don't know how different this would be, Shira, than in polyamory, but... You know, we've had swing relationships where we've had to break up with our playmates. And it was essentially, we're not interested in having sex with you anymore. And knowing that that would lead to a difficult conversation about, you know, sure, we still want to be friends, of course. Yeah, we're going to be friends. We're going to hang out all the time, just like we do with all our fucking vanilla friends. We hang out all the time. So you decide you don't want to have sex with a couple anymore. It's essentially a breakup in most instances, because you may say those things like, we want to be friends. And you may mean those things. But when all is said and done, if your relationship is you get together, you go on a date, you fuck, it's really hard to have a relationship where you don't do that, because that's not your relationship. As a foursome, that is what you do. That is how you behave. And I was wondering if any of you others had similar thoughts.
I wish polyamory was a little bit more clear-cut like that, because in the polyamorous community, you are expected to be friends and hang out afterwards. Like, it just is what it is. Like, it's like you don't get out of that, and it's a super bummer. Like, it has to happen, and then you're... And it hurts. It's like such a bummer. I recently dated a guy who... we never got physical, but we were on like the third date and I was so into him, and I still have a huge crush on him. It's fucking ridiculous. But he was awesome. And then he broke up with his primary partner and he's like, you know, I can't date anyone right now. I'm like, that's totally understandable. I'm so sorry. And he's like,
I support you in every decision you make.
Yeah. And then he's like, let's be friends. And I'm like, fuck, like, God, no, like, like, no, man, like, I so want to be your friend, but I'm also going to want to eat your face every time I see you.
I friend you so much.
Yeah, like, I want to friend him super hard, so I kind of envy the swingers. So it's just like, oh, we're not going to have sex anymore. Then I don't ever have to see you again. Because
well, but at the same time, you could just break off communications entirely with this person.
And I want to, but I kind of still want to friend him really hard. I
so
know,
you're choosing to remain in. Yes.
I know.
You're hoping to reconvert the friend zone back to a relationship zone.
No,
and as someone who's been in the friend zone a lot in my life, you're not going to succeed at that.
But he's pushing it. He's demanding.
Although it is
friendship.
Easier for girls.
He's totally demanding friendship. He called it friendship by attrition. Like, seriously.
Wow.
Yes. He's like, I'm going to contact you once a month until we can go be friends somewhere, like coffee or something. And I'm like, it sucks. But I understand what you're saying, too.
Well,
I should probably get over it.
No, no, that's not what I'm saying.
Because I think, you know, there's hope to be held out, I think, sometimes, like, when it comes to those folks who are still, you know, they've maybe gone, you know, there's the friend zone, but then you just never know how their life is going to evolve and how their relationships are going to evolve. And so I think pinning all of your hopes onto a person and holding on to that for a really long time is probably not the healthiest thing in the world. But having in the back of your mind that something may transpire, that we were so good together when we were, that she might circle back around. And of course, I'm not thinking of anyone in particular. Wink, wink.
No,
of course not, Ginger.
I can even hear the tone in your voice. I'm going to go dark and say, aren't we hurting ourselves? Sitting there, hoping, wishing for it to come back, when we would be much better off writing it off. And then if it does come back, hey, bonus. But if it doesn't, we haven't been sitting, hoping, wishing for it to return.
I said that on Twitter just the other day. Who needs BDSM? I can flog myself with this shit.
Oh, it's true. Well, you had said, Coop, about breaking up with swing friends and like, oh, we don't want to have sex anymore, so see you later, or let's just be friends or whatever. I mean, there are different avenues that people take. I mean, there's, you know, some people that just, you know, the relationship is such that you just stop communicating and then they go away. There's that, you know, the fade away or the, oh, we're never available, or, you know, I don't know. You're in the lifestyle long enough and you hear and experience a lot of different ways that relationships like that terminate. And I think of one set of friends that Prof and I have that we still communicate with. I wouldn't say regularly, and we trust them enough and know that they just have really busy lives, as do we. And we had a swing breakup where the physical ended because of chemistry imbalance with the couples and it was just too many details to pass along. But essentially, you know, the physical wasn't there anymore for one of the four of us. And so then, of course, the way we are, it's kind of all or nothing. And we're still really good friends with them and look forward to seeing them when we can. It's few and far between, but we do actually still go to, we call it Vanilla with Sprinkles, in honor of a friend who coined that term. We go to Vanilla with Sprinkles dinners with them, and we still invite them to gatherings and stuff. And sometimes they come and sometimes they don't. And it's interesting that we've never like had a breakup, but we also don't play with them anymore.
And maybe it's just the grumpy high schooler in me coming back, where I say, I don't need any more friends. Because, I mean, I have a lot of vanilla friends that I don't see or have time to see. I do. And, I mean, I just don't see them. So adding more vanilla friends to that collection of vanilla friends, and really, this is just the grumpy high school Cooper saying, fuck you, I don't want to be friends.
Because they know who you are. They know that you're open. They know, like, you can talk date time with them, you can talk naughty vacations with them, and it's all good. And I don't know. I mean, I think because we had a pretty long-standing relationship with them before things turned less physical.
I value those relationships, Ginger, and I totally get what you're saying. But I also totally get what Cooper's saying. And one of my very bad poly things that I do, and one of my big poly guilty pleasures is, I'm like, one of my favorite sayings is, fuck that, I already got one of those. And then I keep moving. Like, I don't need to collect a series of complicated friendships that are super, super wanting to friend their face off. So yeah, I feel you, Cooper. I got your back.
It's a hard situation, and you know you want to be. Yeah, I think what it is, yeah, I would like to stay in contact with them, and I'm not trying. And this goes for anyone we've swing broken up with, and we've been swing broken up with. I just know we don't stay in contact with them. So to me, it feels disingenuous. It's the, yeah, I'll call you. Yeah, we can still be friends. Yeah, we'll hang out. It'll be totally cool. And again, back to high school. But it's true. You say all these things because that's what you're expected to say. But I think when the relationship changes, it changes. And I do love hanging out with people who are semi-vanilla. And who I don't have to, which is, you know, I mean, that's the reason why we broke up with a number of our vanilla friends, is because they couldn't handle any hint of non-vanilla. So therefore, I do enjoy the vanilla friends who aren't quite vanilla. But maybe I'm just in grumpy mode for tonight's podcast. Maybe this is just grumpy Cooper cast all night. Fuck everybody. I'm taking my ball and going home.
See, you know, if I made you angry more often, you would direct all that rage toward me instead of, say, the general podcast listeners. See, I perform a vital function in the show, taking all of your hate.
The Cooper rage. I love ranty Cooper. It's my favorite. So, rant on, Cooper.
So, I realize a lot of people may have been tuning in thinking that our breakup show was, say, an instruction manual about how one might break up with a swing friend. So, I'm going to tell you the only thing that anyone will ever tell you when it comes to breaking up with a swing friend. Be honest with them. Tell them exactly how you feel. And it's all going to be okay.
Yes.
That said, I know that the odds of you out there and any swingers being honest with the people, telling them exactly how they feel, and it will be okay, are incredibly slim. So at the same time, be nice, and it will be okay.
Yes, I agree with that. But I will also add, the honesty will help that person in the future, even though it hurts them like a motherfucker when it happens.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily. The I'm just not attracted to you anymore thing may not be for anything they did that they can improve on, and it will just let them sit there and wonder what they could do to improve on it.
It still doesn't feel great. But I think that honesty piece, I mean, just yeah.
If that dude had some serious rank breath going on and all he needed was to fucking brush
improvable
his teeth once
things,
in a while,
yes.
And you just be like, hey, I can't see you anymore because your personal hygiene is really bad. Please, I hope you address that in the future. Have a great life. That person is going to be better off in the future because they're going to go look into some Colgate or something.
Boy, like, I hope Shira never breaks up with me.
Very well, Shira, because I seem to be that person.
There you go. See, that's perfect.
Meanwhile, I'm the, it's me. It's totally me. You're perfect. I'm the problem.
Oh, dear. I also wanted to let our listeners know that, you know, one thing that should be discussed on the show is breaking up with your primary when you're in a non-monogamous relationship. And we've discussed that before the show, and we think that that's actually just too big of a topic to stick into a show with other breakup discussions involved. So we're going to move that into its own podcast sometime in the future. No dates yet, but we'll keep that in mind.
Well, hey, moving on from that, we actually got a text that we wanted to address in the show, so...
Text question of the week.
Yeah, we should come up with a jingle or like, get somebody like really cool with a really strong voice to go with text question of the week or something like
Paul
that.
Paul Schaefer in here to give
there
us a jingle.
Go. That would work out. So, okay.
So what is our text question of the week, Dylan?
Well, Cooper, Jason, and Sarah sent in a text saying, how are larger girls received in the lifestyle? Except that totally makes it not a serious question. So, seriously, how are larger girls received in the lifestyle?
By and large, I've seen they're received pretty damn well.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the bottom line to remember is, in this lifestyle, and what's really fascinating about this lifestyle is there are people for everybody. Any size, any age, I have seen all manner of people in this lifestyle. And the key is enjoying yourself and being happy with yourself. And while that may sound like platitudes, which seems odd coming from me after this episode, it is true. The most confident people in the lifestyle are the ones who get the most action.
Oh, and I was going to say, and on top of that, every subculture somewhat reflects its society, so certain people are going to have certain aesthetic preferences, whether it's bigger or smaller, but one thing can be noted about our particular subculture is that people don't have to pick just one, so they're more likely to try out a variety of choices. So you'll actually probably have better chances than in normal society.
It's like the multi-pack cereal box.
When did I stop making the crappy jokes and you start, man?
Yeah, I've had a very rough episode. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to be okay.
I know.
We're all going to make it.
I love you, Cooper. I friend you, Cooper, this much.
He wants to friend your face, so...
There has been a lot of discussion about that.
Really? Really?
Yes. Your comments on all the bisexuality episodes have led a lot of people to believe that you are desperately trying to be bisexual. I think you should know that.
Well, okay, I'll put this one to rest real quick since we have about 30 seconds until we should probably let go.
The big old clock up on the wall says...
So having said that, I'll take about 6 minutes to say this. I have been trying very hard to be bisexual. I've been trying very hard to feel that way.
Hey. And
is it specifically because you want to tempt Shira?
I will say that there's a lot of positive feedback coming from the Shira B. Katz camp of boy
Absolutely.
Kissing and bisexuality.
Boy kissing. I'm sorry.
Look at how that works.
I have been trying.
Did you send her that picture of you kissing your friend?
Oh, no. Actually, I didn't.
Because
God.
That could really totally good. Make her gush right. Just on seeing it. I have a she-jaculation.
She might she-jaculate everywhere.
Sheer-ejaculate.
I meant to say sheer-ejaculation.
Right already.
All right.
Oh, gosh.
So go ahead. You're trying
No, I don't
really
have
hard.
An undying love of Cooper. He's a good friend.
No, that wasn't what they were suggesting.
I know.
I think your quotation was, he's not your kind of
Cooper's
pretty.
Cooper's a good friend. No, he is not my kind of pretty. But no, I think it would be wicked awesome to be bisexual, and for the guys that can do it and for the girls that can do it, I think it's great. It's just not me, and I've got to sit down
it's
and admit it to myself
you?
And stop trying to shoehorn myself into
stop?
It.
He's coming out as straight.
He's coming out as straight. Okay, well,
I'm
going to give it one last I'm totally gonna be on team let's check out dudes.
Hey, in all fairness though, I did tell you that I will make out with guys for attention from ladies. There's no problem with that, but it's just
coming out as straight.
There's no feeling behind it. There's no feeling behind it, and it kills me because it's like it'd be so cool to be able to explore that, but I have to live vicariously through Cooper and other bi guys that I'm friends with now. So, guys, I'm so sorry.
Now the question
my name is Dylan,
is,
and I'm straight.
The question is, Dylan, are you going to try it before saying you're not? And this is not me coming on to you.
I'm
asking, are you going to see, try anything once? Are you going to do that? What do you think?
I'm not
putting
opposed
you on the spot.
I'm not going to go seek it out because I'm pretty convinced. But but in all seriousness, I'm not opposed to trying.
But so you heard it here first.
Yeah, I'm finally settling down to the fact that I might actually just be straight as opposed to being bisexual.
You sound so sad.
It is kind of sad. I've been trying to work it in for like the last.
Shira is without words. She is that sad.
I was actually just wondering if I'm ostracizing listeners by being
no.
Okay, I love straight people. You're all awesome. I just super love boy kissing.
Don't apologize for what you love.
It's cool.
Shira.
So what? What she's saying is you have a chance if you're straight, but if you're bi, you have a big chance.
There you go.
Shira, if you find a special little guy out on the playa and you want to bring him into our tent.
Little guy? I really couldn't help it, but you talk about how families are there, and I just heard special little guy and went to a very bad place.
Oh, gosh.
I couldn't help it.
I am now worried that
we're gonna have fun in the desert.
I'm so worried. You feel like I feel like we're gonna have to go over, like, after talking about swinging and polyamory every 2 weeks for the last year. I'm like, okay, you know what? There's no bringing cute little guys back to the tent when you're poly. But it's okay. We're gonna hang in there.
Okay. Okay. That's right. I think there's an email chain going on, and I think I mentioned that that since we're a lot of us are going to be riding together out to Nevada, in about a month or 2 months, 2.5 months, I said that I was an island of swing in a sea of poly. we're all going to be like sleeping in a hotel room together, and then we're all going to be sleeping in the same camp together. And it's like I'm going to be the one swinger there, and I'm going to be like coming on to all the women, and they're going to be like, "Wait, huh?"
It's like they're going to want to have a relationship with you.
Well, actually, we were talking a little bit. They were talking a little bit. Here goes my sirens. Come here.
Oh God, they're talking about me now. Oh no.
No. I just saw that they were talking about wooing some of the swingers for the events that the camp is putting together. And so they were actually trying to reach out to the swingers. So maybe you'll be able to get your groove on, Dylan.
Well, Dylan is wooable.
That would be wicked awesome. I would be in for that. Totally radical, even.
Yeah, radical. wicked twice here.
And with that, we're going to say goodbye for another episode of Life on the Swing Set. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/theswingset. You can follow us each on Twitter at swingsetlife, at gingerntheprof, at shirabcats, and at Dylan_swingset. You can also email us at contact@lifeontheswingset.com and give us a call and leave us a voicemail at 573-55-SWING. That's 573-557-9464. Send us a question for Text of the Week. And also, while you're at it, you're sitting there in front of your computer, definitely review us at iTunes, because that really rocks.
Yeah, that rocks.
Gets a lot more people to get Swing Set Podcast on their radar screen, downloading us and listening to us on the treadmill and in their cars while they're commuting. So,
you know, I've actually been driving a lot the past few days alone, and so I've been listening to some of our more recent podcasts, and I've turned them up all the way and dropped all the windows down just to see what I get from people. I've gotten a lot of laughs, a lot of thumbs up, and a couple of old people looking at me a little bit strange. But I think it was mostly because I was talking about things up my ass in that episode.
Well, the Dylan with something in his ass was a big hit. I don't know if it will be upstaged by the Shira with her tits out.
Oh.
But it might be.
Absolutely. That's why we have to do it again, for sure.
In any case, hope we didn't bum out tonight.
Yeah, it gets better. Even if you're not being bullied, if you're just going through some
shit. That's right. We're going to cover all the topics and not sugarcoat. So, thanks for swinging by.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So,
that was a very overzealous sort of, that was awesome.
It's Dylan planning his coup. is what it is.
No coups. No coups. Only coops.
Anyway, that was adorable and punny.
Hey guys, this is James out in California. Just listened to your special podcast about admit to everybody that he was bi to his community after being having a community after 12 years. And you were talking about playing with your profile. And I just wanted to share with you my experience with our profile on Cassidy. And we actually get more hits since I've labeled myself as bi-comfortable. And I think that that really has something to do with the fact that there are so many guys out there that are or are curious but are too afraid to admit it, so they still say straight on their profile. In fact, actually, one of the couples that we play with quite a bit, he's still labeled as straight on his profile, yet him and I have done everything and have a few times. So a lot of the straight guys on the sites, they are bi. They're just too afraid to step out and admit it. So that's just my two cents. Have a great day. Love the podcast.